Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. And welcome back. It's the hot, hazy Jewish Experience Days of August, and we're on our way to the month of Elul coming up next. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Our parsha this week is Achan. Moses continues his final words and charges to the Jewish people, tells them to be sure to follow God's commandments, and if so, they'll be long in the land. And he does this because he then reminds them of all the times they went against God. Unbelievably, when you think about it. The golden calf, the rebellion of Korach, the rebellion of the spies, and so on and on. But he also reminds them of God's great mercy and forgiveness. He tells them that living on only the manna from heaven was to teach them that man lives by God's utterances alone and nothing else. That the land they are entering is filled with milk, honey, and figs, and pomegranates. You like pomegranates? Anyway, speaking of pomegranates, our staff is ready to pomegranate you with the best in Jewish radio. With musical moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLynn. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. And our special guest today, Salahuddin Shoaib Chaudhuri, a Bangladesh journalist who was arrested 4 years ago because of his support for the land of Israel. He's still fighting those false charges instigated by the Islamic forces in his country. That's coming up straight ahead. And if you haven't sponsored a segment yet, please step up and do so now. You know, we want to continue to bring you the best and only authentic Jewish radio in Pittsburgh, but we must have your support. If everyone helps a little, nobody has to help a lot. Call us and get the mitzvah today and be ready for the high holidays. 412-979-5770 or jewishexperience@verizon.net. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is available for sponsorship, and as well as his popular story segment, the community news and announcements, the popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history is available for sponsorship. So call right now and reserve your spot. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own musical Moishi, and Artistic Photography. And don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that's yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And we're on our third order now, and they're still going out the door. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 8:15 p.m., so sit back and enjoy the best Jewish music just for you on an Erev Shabbos. with an insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Torah tells us, Mi yitein, v'hoya levovam ze lohem liyira osi, v'lishmor esko mitzvosai kol hayomim. If only this heart they have to fear me, and to observe all my commandments would remain with them all the days. Fear of Hashem is of central importance to man's very being. The book of Koheles echoes this sentiment by saying, the sum of the matter when all has been considered is, fear Hashem and keep His commandments, for that is man's whole essence. Each person is blessed with certain unique talents and strengths that others do not have. These are gifts from Hashem. One cannot take credit for possessing them, nor can a person be taken to task for not having them. We do not look down on an average person for not being an accomplished artist or musician if he happens not to be talented in these areas. But each individual is expected to take advantage of whatever talents he does have and utilize them to the fullest. As the Rebbe Reb Zusha used to say, in heaven they will not admonish me by saying, why did you not become a great Torah genius? But they will say, why didn't you become Zusha? The more talent a person has, the greater is his responsibility to develop his gifts to the fullest. The sages express this concept with the maxim, according to the camel is the size of the load. This is true for all of man's qualities, except for one, fear of Hashem. In this area, no man is more or less predisposed to be God-fearing than any other individual. Each person is capable, if he has the desire and is willing, to put in the effort of achieving the highest possible levels of spirituality. Everything is in Hashem's hands except for fear of Hashem. The sages teach, unlike other character traits or natural talents, then, the potential to fear Hashem is the one thing that all men have in common. This, suggested, is what Koheles meant when he said, fear Hashem and observe His commandments, for this is for every man. This is the challenge that every man faces equally.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Foreword, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Foreword reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Foreword also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
Shit.
Now it's time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, approximately 50 years before 3448, a body of 120 of the greatest Torah scholars assumed the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people. This august assembly, led by Ezra, functioned as the Sanhedrin, or Supreme Court, of the nation. Although scholars disagree as to whether all 120 sages served on the court simultaneously, or the Sanhedrin was composed of its normal quorum of 71 members while the others were alternates, nevertheless all agree that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly, was the greatest scholarly assembly in the history of the Jewish people. Membership was composed of prophets and non-prophets. Among its more prominent members were Mordechai, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Shimon HaTzadik. These eminent rabbis realized that Jewish society was changing irrevocably. The era in which the Jewish people received direct divine communication was about to come to a close. In addition, the majority of Jews would live in a state of exile outside the land of Israel. The awesome responsibility of leading the Jewish people during this difficult transitional period and facing the challenges of an uncertain future weighed heavily on their shoulders. Therefore, the Great Assembly effected far-reaching enactments that guide the Jewish people to this day, enabling the nation to survive spiritually during the long dark exile. The major accomplishments of the men of the Great Assembly include formalizing the text of the prayers and blessings. Tefillah, or prayer, is one of the Torah's 613 commandments. However, the Torah does not specify specific texts. Originally, people composed their own informal supplications and praises to God, with synagogues serving as the place for public Torah readings, which require a quorum of 10 male Jewish adults. Unfortunately, due to the vicissitudes of exile, the spiritual level of the Jewish people declined to the point where they could not compose proper prayers. Understanding the situation, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola enacted a formal prayer service containing all the spiritual states that a Jew is supposed to attain during prayer. By reciting the prescribed text, any Jew could ideally access the mystical Kabbalistic levels that Jewish prayer accomplishes. A common prayer book also united the Jewish people. To this day, the order of prayers for Jews from Poland to Yemen is basically identical. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Now, from the Israel National Radio newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Sderot Mayor Eli Mayal says shelters in the rocket-ravaged city will be renovated by the end of the month. Light injuries and property damage from one of two Gaza-launched Qassam rockets to land in Sderot Friday morning, a third landing outside the city. A number of people treated for mental trauma, no damage or injuries in a two-rocket attack on Thursday night. Islamic Jihad says the Friday morning attack was in retaliation for Israel's elimination of a wanted Islamic Jihad commander in Shechem after he tried to escape troops who had surrounded the house where he was hiding. 28-year-old Raed Abu Ades was sought for his role in planning suicide terror attacks. His armed assistant was arrested and soldiers found weapons and an explosive device in the house. The Hebron Jewish community has called on people to come to the city to help defend Jews from a force of 1,000 police and soldiers assigned to expel two families from their home in one of Hebron's markets. Community spokesmen expect security forces to close roads to the scene shortly before they act. Before the recent appointment of Ehud Barak as defense minister, the administration of Prime Minister Ehud Olmert saying that it favors strengthening the Jewish community of Hebron. A group representing poverty-stricken Holocaust survivors living in Israel says that more meetings will be held this coming week in an attempt to improve their plight. Following a Thursday night meeting with representatives of the group, the government has agreed to scrap an aid program to survivors that has been condemned for being miserly. The state controller's office expected to release a report this week on government treatment of the survivors. Ethiopian Israeli activists say Interior Minister Meir Shitrit needs more time on the job before commenting on the immigration of members of the Falesh Mura, the descendants of Ethiopian Jews who converted to Christianity. Shitrit has called to stop bringing them to Israel, saying they are all Christian and asking who needs them. The activists say that Minister Shetrit should also meet with Ethiopian immigrants who have family members waiting to make Aliyah before commenting. 63 Knesset members have signed a petition calling on Prime Minister Olmert not to send Sudanese refugees who entered Israel back to Egypt under a recent agreement with Egyptian President Mohamed Hosni Mubarak. The refugees treated as badly in Egypt as they were in Sudan's infamous Darfur province. Among the signatories are Likud boss Benjamin Netanyahu and F.E.A. Tom of the National Union National Religious Party. The petition, circulated by a group of university students, says that the refugees who arrived here need protection and shelter. Their absorption as refugees is a supreme moral duty, given the Jewish people's history and the values of democracy and humaneness. Israeli soldiers telling Channel 10 television that Egyptian soldiers pointed their guns at them Thursday night to keep them from interfering as the Egyptians shot or clubbed at least three Sudanese to death as they tried to enter Israel. Education Minister Yuli Tamir says that she will work to shut down the Higher Education Council of Judea and Samaria for its willingness to give university status to Judea and Samaria College in Ariel beyond the 1949 ceasefire line east of Tel Aviv. The Haaretz Daily says the minister intends to accomplish this by merging the council with the National Council for Higher Education, thereby making every person appointed to the national body a member of the smaller body as well. Dr. Amir Chetzroni, a senior lecturer from the Emek Israel College, has published an opinion piece on the Yediot Achronot's Ynet website, explaining that despite the fact that left-wing politicians and media have come out staunchly against the upgrading of the college for their political reasons, there are students living in Judea and Samaria who, in his words, write forthrightly about the occupation, showing diversity missing in existing universities. With Israel currently facing hostility on a number of its borders, a number of people are thinking about Gog and Magog, the Hebrew name for the final war to come. For a look at a couple of aspects of the theme, listen to the Tamar Yonah Show, on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf for the 20th of Av on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, clear to partly cloudy with a high wave warning at Mediterranean beaches on Friday, seasonal temperatures through Monday. In Jerusalem and Tel Aviv on Friday, a high temperature of 30 degrees centigrade, 86 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, 40 degrees centigrade, 104 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights, 31 degrees centigrade, 88 Fahrenheit. Beersheba, 34 degrees centigrade, 93 Fahrenheit. Haifa, 32 degrees centigrade, 90 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Another happy birthday this week. We don't normally do birthdays, but for our beloved resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, celebrated his birthday last week, and he should have many, many more healthy and happy days ahead. And mazel tov to him on another chapter in life that has been completed. On with the next one. Also, a big mazel tov to Rabbi and Mrs. Yisrael Rosenfeld on the birth of a granddaughter. Speaking of the cycle of life, we're now beginning with that cycle, or continuing with that cycle, as we say. As we look around the community, the Pirkei Avos classes for women are still going on. They're winding down, but they're still going on in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. Jewish Community Day, Kennywood, coming up August 26th. Tickets are available at synagogues and Penskers. Get them while they're, and they are hot today, 90 degrees out there. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous meets at Charity Tower every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. The program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, you can do it. Please call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 8:15 p.m. We'd like to welcome to the Jewish Experience microphones today Mr. Salahuddin Shoaib Chowdhury. who was arrested in 2003 by the government agents in Bangladesh as he was about to board a plane for speech in Israel. The arrest was carried out in cooperation with the Islamist forces because of his advocacy of relations with Israel and interfaith understanding based on religious equality. And, of course, his articles exposing the rise of radical Islam in Bangladesh. Mr. Chaudhuri, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening to you.
Thank you, and I thank you for taking the time to be with us. Tell me, just as to get started here, I mean, you were obviously, you've always been, I guess your career, you've always been a journalist?
Yeah, I've been in this profession since 1989.
Into 1989, so this has been your main profession. So when you started doing this, I noticed from your resume, you indicated that you worked for Itar Tass news agency.
Russian news agency from the 1989 to 1996.
Now, were you in Bangladesh at that time?
Yeah, I was their correspondent in Bangladesh.
That's what I figured. Okay. So how did this begin? I mean, how did this start in terms of your knowledge of Israel, your following of Israel? Just give us a little background of how you got involved with actually coming out and writing in support of Israel.
I was invited in a conference by the Hebrew Writers Association in 2003 in Israel as an editor of the newspaper. And trying to take a flight to Bangkok for Tel Aviv, I was arrested at the Dhaka International Airport, and later the government brought the sedition treason and blasphemy charges against me for trying to travel to Israel and for what they say that for advocating interfaith dialogue, etc. And that was the beginning of everything, and later I was put in prison for 17 months when I was released on 10th of April 2005 following the terrific efforts by Dr. Richard Penkin, a human rights activist from Chicago. And till now, Dr. Penkin is working for getting the charges dropped. So that's how things are happening with me now. And earlier the government of Bangladesh stopped me from traveling abroad. But this time, anyway, they didn't do anything to stop me, and I have been able to come. And I'll be concluding my dispatch visit next Sunday, and I'll be going back to Dhaka.
Okay. So
on the 17th of August, I have the trial day, so I have to be there in the court on that day.
You have to be there. The government has made a decree against you to leave the country, but they let you leave anyway. Is that correct?
Yeah, because previous government stopped me twice, but this is the interim government now in Bangladesh, as you know. So they have allowed me to leave, and I have come, and anyway, I'll be back on next Sunday to Bangladesh.
So what is the guarantor that to them that you're coming back? I mean, you would think you would want to look for asylum, I would think, no?
No. Actually, I have been offered this asylum many times by many countries previously. And I don't believe that if for any cause you are in a cause, you are in the right cause, and why you should just leave your own country and take a political asylum somewhere else. I believe that I'm doing the right thing, and I should continue to do it in my own country. And definitely, that is the thing what I want, because the message of peace, what we are conveying to the people, it is useless that I come to Washington or go to Canada, take political asylum, and then give the message to them. It is useless. I have to give it to the people of the Muslim country, like Bangladesh, and that's why I shall have to be there. It is very impractical for anyone to take a political shelter in any third country or Western country, and then give big lectures of many ideologies and etc. etc. I don't believe in that, and I will be in my country, whatever the situation and reality is, I will face them, and still we will continue our peace mission.
Yeah, that's very courageous, because in the face of evil, I mean, you got this, obviously, a government before, before, that was obviously bent on injustice, and yet...
But it doesn't matter, because, you know, when you are in this kind of works for the humanity, you have to face adversities and problems. That is quite normal. And I personally think that these are the nominal things. We should not stop from our efforts by being afraid or being feared of certain nominal things like this.
Yeah, it's just incredible on your end, and I think it says a lot about you. Let's move to a little bit about Israel. Did you ever make that speech in Israel?
No, I haven't been able to visit Israel. I'm looking forward very soon when my country will have diplomatic relations with Israel or will withdraw the travel ban. Definitely, I will be honored to visit Israel, and we will not only deliver the pending speech, but maybe we'll do something even more.
So, what is Bangladesh? I guess is it listed officially as an Islamic country?
No, Bangladesh is officially not an Islamic country. Bangladesh officially is a secular Muslim state. But as you said, what is the reason for Bangladesh to be having that kind of attitude for Israel? It's definitely because of certain fear of a kind of anger of those Muslim countries who might become angry on Bangladesh if it will recognize Israel. So maybe that is one of the main factors, but I think this is, even it is a minor thing, those Muslim countries who are trying to let Bangladesh not have relations with Israel, they are themselves now having relations with Israel, economic and otherwise. So when they themselves are having relations, why we should just sit tight?
Okay, and that okay. Well, I hope that'll happen, and it sounds like with you and others working on that side, it probably will happen. You recently spoke to the Hudson Institute. I guess it was yesterday. Can you give us a little bit about what your message was to them?
My message is very clear and simple: that we, all people in the world, we have to understand that for the sake of the global peace and for the sake of the success in world terror, we have to be united, and we have to forget our divisions in the name of religion, and we have to abandon the culture of religious hatred. And that is the only thing where we can really find a peaceful world for us and for our future generation.
Okay, well, it's an important message, and I'm sure it'll hopefully be taken by more and more people, and will come, of course, to your aid as well. Is there anything our listeners can do to help you in your mission at this time?
Yeah, actually, first of all, I must express once again my gratitude to you for making the show, and of course, I would like to appeal to everyone, your listeners and everyone who are now at this moment listening to us, that everyone, you need to raise your voice against radical Islam. You have to definitely raise your voice against radical Islam, because radical Islam is the main cause of all the problems and all the destructions and all the bad things in this world. Mm-hmm. Once we can raise our voice against radical Islam, once we can defeat them, we can have an excellent and peaceful world for people of every religion.
Very good. And why don't you tell our listeners your website where they can find more information about what you're doing?
Yeah, www.interfaithstrength.com.
Okay, that's www.interfaithstrength.com. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And, okay, is there anything else you'd like to add this evening?
Well, thank you very much.
All right, and thank you for being with us. And it is an important message, and it's unbelievable that you're willing to, in the face of this kind of adversity, to stand up, especially as an individual. Hopefully there's others in Bangladesh who are joining you. You're certainly going to be needing strength in numbers, I would assume, to carry this forward. But it is very courageous, and we wish you, as we say in Hebrew, Hatzlacha, success in your endeavors, and because I know it's not only for you, but it's for the whole world. So thank you again, and much strength, and much success going forward.
And my regards and my best wishes to the listeners of your radio show.
Thank you very much. Take care. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
And now, back to the music with Moshe Pitar.
Like what you hear, or you have an idea for selections on a future show, you can email me, Moshe Pitar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll try and do it.
it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
The desert is one of the most fascinating places in this world. There are some deserts whose temperatures can hit the hundreds during the day and fall to freezing during the night. Reptiles, the animal most suited to this kind of climate, are the dominant wildlife, while trees are low and shrub-like to compensate for the searing sun and little water. Since there's very little humidity to help absorb the sunlight in some deserts, the temperature can go to all sorts of extremes. Yet within this harsh community, the Jewish people were able to survive for 40 years, even without the modern technology that makes desert life more bearable today. In this week's Torah portion, Parshas Akev, Moshe continues his final message to the people. He tells them that even in the midst of future prosperity, they shouldn't forget that it was Hashem who gave it to them. He took them out of slavery through a harsh desert, gave them water in an arid land, and brought them to a land of milk and honey. The verse uses the terms Bamidbar Hagadol Vehanora, Nachash, Sarah, Fiakrov, Vitzimon, Asher Ein Mayim, the great and awesome desert, where there were snakes, serpents, and scorpions, and thirst, but no water. The Lubavitch Rebbe says that this description suits our current exile, which precedes the final redemption. Our current exile is a spiritual desert, Hagadol. People begin to think that the desert, the secular world, is great and powerful. Hanora, it becomes so overpowering that there is no room left for Jewish values. Nachash, snake venom is often used as an analogy for enthusiasm because of its classification as a hot poison. In exile, we perceive the secular world as attractive and something to be a part of. We become eager to fit in. Saraf, meaning serpents, alludes to the Hebrew word for burning, serepha. This represents the stage where the person's desire for Torah, mitzvos, and a perfection of self is totally burned away. Next, a person may come to apathy and cold disdain for spiritual matters, as hinted by the word akrav, scorpions, whose poison is classified as a cold poison. Finally, the person is so far removed from Judaism that even when his soul is thirsting for holiness, he can't relieve its thirst, because he doesn't realize what he needs. I've seen this process, and I'm sure many others have seen this as well. I once knew a girl who was young and curious. People ignored her questions, so she sought answers where she could find them. She became attracted to the secular world, at first feeling guilty, later disdaining those who believed. I think she has come to the point where even if someone would go to her now offering answers, she wouldn't listen because she wouldn't understand that this is what she needs. The Rebbe gives us the preventive measures to take against such sad and common situations. When a person comes to you looking for answers, teach him or her that the Torah is great and eternal, and in it, each person can find answers to questions that they, on their own level, can understand. Shlomo HaMelech says in his book of Proverbs, "Educate a child in accordance with his way, so that also when he grows old, he will not depart from it." Listen to a child and teach him the way he needs to hear it, not the way you think it should be told. Remember, it was in the merit of the children that we were able to receive the Torah. They were our guarantors. And frankly, they are our guarantors for the future. Teach them to make it a bright one. Have a good Shabbos.
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
It was a frosty night. The entire city was covered over with a blanket of thick white snow. The cold bit into one's bones. It was at that hour, just before dawn, when the night is at its coldest. At this inhospitable hour, the scholars of Horadon were just getting up to go to the Beis Medrash for their daily pre-dawn lesson. How surprised they were to see a figure dancing in the knee-high snow. He was bundled up in warm fur, but his teeth were chattering nevertheless. Whatever was this person up to at this hour? As they approached, they could hear him muttering, "L'shem mitzvah, this is for the sake of a mitzvah." More and more puzzling. Who was this man? Had he gone out of his mind? Dancing in the snow in the middle of the night? They drew nearer, determined to clear up the mystery. They approached and were finally able to identify the face concealed behind the high fur collar. It was Rav Nochum of Horadna. They cried out in alarm, "What is the matter, Rav Nochum?" Rav Nochum lowered his eyes, ashamed at having been caught in the act. Sheepishly, he explained what he had been doing. "It is almost morning. Soon dozens of cheder children will be rushing off to learn Torah. They are not very strong, nor are they well protected from the cold. Their families cannot afford warm coats for them. Their shoes are worn and torn. I'm afraid that the Jewish children might catch cold if they have to struggle against the freezing elements. I thought that I, who had a warm fur coat, could blaze the way for them." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
So we come to the close of the second of the 7 weeks of consolation leading up to the new year. And again, we always ask that God please bring final redemption just in time to greet the new year, if not earlier. I want to thank Mr. Shoaib Chaudhuri, a Bangladeshi journalist persecuted for standing up for Israel, for an unbelievable look at what it takes for a Muslim to stand up against unmitigated evil. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, who's always with us, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and our ever-present engineer, Jeremiah Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget candlelighting time this week, 8:15 p.m. It's been a ton of fun. I do have to run. Have a great and wonderful and restful Shabbat. See you next week. I'm Hirsch Tillman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Malachi Elyon, Malachi Elyon.